This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And per usual, it is sponsored by Better. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into cash very quickly. Download Better or visit Better.app now. Sign up today and get a free $10. No deposit necessary. Big program forthcoming per usual. We will talk college football on this show with Ben Stevens, college football betting expert over here, right here at VSiN. We'll, of course, catch up on Thursday Night Football here at the top first segment. I do have a list of key injuries for week two. We definitely like to go around the league with these injuries, but on a Friday, I think it's very, very important. Now, we're still a little limited at 101 Eastern right now live with the injury information coming down the line, but I have arranged a list of non-skill player injuries that I think will be needle-moving if these dudes are out, basically. That's one of my edges all the time. I like to take advantage of injuries, which hurt me in week one, quite frankly, because it's, well, week one, and most guys are pretty healthy. Scott Barrett is always equipped with a healthy amount of great analysis from fantasypoints.com, of course. You've probably seen him on Twitter. He is one of the hottest follows on the X machine for the last couple of years, and he is going to pop out some week two DFS recos, if you will. And speaking of recos, I do have my favorite props for NFL action on Sunday, but we did kick off week number two last night in Green Bay. Green Bay Packers get it done. Let's take a look at our record. We had a good night, as I thought, but I'm a little miffed because I think we came 7 yards shy of 4-1 last night. But hey, we'll take it. We will take it. We only gained one damn pick, but again, I'll take it. I will scratch and claw my way back to respectability after a bad week one. But yeah, how about that Jordan Love run, baby? You got to love it because the hashtag analysis was on point. He got a 14-yard run against man coverage, and that's what I was saying. Like, just pop off one against man coverage to move the chains for seven, then we're good. Zach Ertz came through big time. Thank you, Zach Ertz. You're the man. I once met him in a Starbucks right outside of Philadelphia. Very nice guy. And we do come up small, unfortunately, with Austin Eckler, who, per my guy Adam Schefter, did suffer a blown-out Achilles, unfortunately. And, you know, just looking at Eckler on the sideline, I think he knows this is probably it. Let's be honest here. Not going to play again this year. I don't know if anything official has come out, but I really feel bad for him. He's a great guy. I mean, I've never actually met him, but Fantasy Points, we have interviewed him. He did our podcast, I think it was last year. Our paths have kind of crossed a couple of times. I was supposed to interview him a couple of times. It just never happened. But, I mean, what are the all-time great stories in Austin Eckler? And I'll admit, I was not a believer in Eckler early in the career because, you know, he is an outlier guy. He's kind of like the other end of the spectrum with Derrick Henry. You know, like guys like Derrick Henry they're not supposed to keep rolling after 30. And guys, Austin Eckler's size aren't necessarily supposed to be primary backs, but he was. We did give out, not that we made an official pick, but I did like Tucker Kraft last night. That was a lean. Boy, he's balling. We also gave out Dobbs, which is a good call because he scored and he did get the 5 targets. But, of course, he didn't hit it. But how about my guy Jordan Love? I thought he would throw just a tick more in this game, and he did. 31 attempts, very efficient. I mean, he's feeling it right now, 292/2. Again, the problem with Love, and I love Love the last 2 years as a fantasy pick, is dude's not running. He could. He's capable, but he just doesn't do it unless it's like a last resort. So that's not great. And, of course, their defense is potentially too good. Were they playing with like 12 guys out there last night? 13, perhaps? You know, all I saw were white jerseys. So they're a zone-based defense that doesn't give up big plays. And you're not getting much underneath. I mean, Zach Ertz comes through. All the analysis was on point. But, you know, it was a struggle on the other side for Jaden Daniels and the D.C. Commanders. He does get 200 yards and a couple of tutties, but it's not really a needle-moving, impactful performance because he didn't run, quite frankly. 7 carries for 17. This is a tough day. This is an avoid. My guy Deebo Samuel again. 8 targets. You like that? He looked good. But he does not hit that prop. We missed that by about 7 yards. Anything else of note? Not really. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. Thankfully, I didn't bark up that tree because Green Bay, as I mentioned yesterday, really good defense. They're great against everything now through 2 games. They were very good against the run in week 1. I wasn't necessarily feeling that. He only gets 1 target. Noah Brown dropping balls. Saw Luke McCaffrey out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's Ertz, McLaurin, Deebo. And now no Eckler is good for Ertz and Deebo. I think we're going to get a little bit more action without Austin Eckler. Maybe going forward, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt can pick up the slack for Austin Eckler. In fact, I would trade for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt right now. Coming out of this nationally televised game, came up small, microscopically. Dude got like 2 points. He got like two more points than me. So that's a good time to buy low. It's also a good time to take a look at some very critical injuries for week number 2. And let's do just that right here in this first segment. I'm just looking at non-skill guys. I mean, I got a couple skill guys we can go over, but I'm pretty big on understanding the ramifications if a key player is out. For example, Ed Oliver, he's really good. Defensive tackle for the Bills, ruled out. I'm still not feeling warm and fuzzy about the Jets and Breece Hall, but that certainly helps Breece Hall. Kyler Gordon, I haven't gotten the update today, but he's still dealing with that hamstring. He missed week 1, and that's a big one because if he's out, that's massive for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm in on Amon-Ra. Even after last week's failure, I'm back because Amon-Ra, you can't stop Amon-Ra St. Brown 2 weeks in a row. You just can't. Also in that, for that Bears secondary, and this helps Amon-Ra too, because Jalen Johnson, who was scratch in week 1 on Monday night, he's back and he'll often see Jameson Williams. So that's even better for potentially Amon-Ra St. Brown. For those Lions though, see, I have bad vibes. I'm worried. I really try not to be the king of the overreactions, but when you look at an offseason analysis point or 2 or 3 and you're kind of pondering it all off season, and then week 1 comes out and everything is what you're thinking or worried about, it's a little disconcerting. Taylor Decker did not practice today. So they might not have their starting left tackle, which isn't a tragedy because, you know, the Bears don't have a great pass rush, but look, that's a left tackle and Jared Goff is not very mobile. So I think the bad vibes are kind of stacking up a little bit. I do think they'll come through offensively today or this week, but a little worried about those Lions. Daron Bland out for the Cowboys. That should not hurt. Malik Nabers, as I pull the name out. Austin Jackson, he is out. That's not good for Devon Achane and the struggling Dolphins. Joey Porter Jr. didn't get the update today yet. They might be still practicing, but he has not practiced yet with a hamstring. So that would be massive for Jaxon Smith-Njigba, although they did not travel Joey Porter last week. Also, Devin Witherspoon has been out with a knee. That is a pretty big one right there for perhaps Calvin Austin. Tristan Wirfs, they're playing on Monday, but he's doubtful. So that's not great. Also for the Vikings, if you're feeling optimistic, Christian Darrisaw, it looks like we're trending toward a return. He is a stud left tackle. And boy, the Jackson, the rookie left tackle or left guard, man, he had, I think, the highest grade of all interior defenders. I mean, we're looking good there with the Vikings' number one pick and Darisaw as well. We also have, of course, you know, Brock Bowers watch today, Dallas Goedert, Juwan Jennings, plenty of injuries to continue to monitor here on a Friday. And when we return, we will look to Saturday in college football. But first, if you know sports, it is time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. And here's how it works. You download the Better app, you pick more or less and on your favorite player stats, and then you watch the action unfold. If your pick hits, you win. Right now, they've got an NFL kickoff new user special. Sign up today, a free $10, no deposit necessary. And when you do deposit, you can get up to $200 in deposit bonuses. They also have NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. So no matter the season, there's always time to have some fun and turn your sports knowledge into cash. And Better is giving you $40 for every friend you refer to try Better Picks. Word is, we're only doing this for the first 2 weeks of the season. This is week two, so get on that ASAP. Head over to better.app, that's B-E-T-R. Download Better from the app or Google Play Store. Pop in that promo code VEASAN for your free $10 and deposit bonus today. College football week number three is coming at us very quickly. Ben Stevens of VEASAN right here will join us. College football betting preview here on Prop Points, a Friday edition. Hang tight.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, not a big college football guy, but I actually have been watching more lately, last two, three, four. Actually started like Joe Burrow year, LSU. What was that? I don't even remember, 2019. But we fear not because we bring in the experts. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, is on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. What's up, Ben? Nice to meet you. Ready to talk some college football? I see you got a bunch of picks here, spread, totals, all that good stuff. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. Thanks so much for having me on this Friday. Very excited for week number three. Some really good matchups, not only just tonight on a Friday, but of course, for a full slate Saturday as well. So very excited to talk with you.
Let's get into it here. Number 12, Clemson at Georgia Tech. Both teams 2-0. Seems like Clemson, though, looking a little shaky. What do you got here? Clemson, a three-point favorite. You like them to cover?
Yeah, and John, let's start right there with where the number is. The Tigers only being a three-point road favorite, even in Atlanta against Georgia Tech, I think is very indicative of what we are seeing and maybe some of the feedback that Clemson is receiving in the betting markets based on the disappointing start to 2025, a season that, much like myself, John, many predicted Clemson would be a front runner to win the ACC, a surefire pick to reach the college football playoff, and maybe, just maybe, again, John, I say this and I almost chuckle at myself, Clemson to win a national championship, which was my prediction and my future bet entering this 2025 campaign. The Tigers have looked anything but a national championship contender, even in the realm of that possibility. So the market has moved drastically based on this. It opened earlier this week on Sunday afternoon on DraftKings at 6.5 in favor of the Tigers. Looking at the VSiN betting splits right now, nearly 70% of the handle is still riding with Dabo Sweeney's club, and yet we have seen this line move by 3.5 points. Now on that flat number of three, not necessarily a key number in college football like it is in the NFL, but still very important given what we are seeing in terms of that spread movement. And John, so far this year, through the first three weekends of this college football campaign, if you have faded as the better, the 3+ point move, a spread that is moved by 3 points or more in any direction, you are hitting at a 59% clip. And I highlighted all the reasons that I think the Tigers will bounce back, make a statement in their ACC opener in Atlanta against Brent Key and his Bees. And John, if Clemson is going to be anything close to the national championship caliber team, I still think might be in there. We have to see it on Saturday in this critical game against the Yellow Jackets. And one thing to pay attention to is the quarterback battle. Cade Klubnik has been awful this year. He has thrown for an interception in both of the first two games for the Tigers against LSU and against Troy. Last year, John, when he really stepped up to that level in year number two under Garrett Riley's system there in Clemson, South Carolina, did not have consecutive games with an interception thrown all season long. His first two this year, a little bit more turnover prone, which is not what you want to see for a veteran quarterback. On the other side for Georgia Tech, Haynes King was banged up in the opener against Colorado. Really looked like he was lagging on that leg. Did not play last week for the Yellow Jackets to get ready for this critical ACC opener against the Clemson Tigers. So we'll monitor his status. But ultimately, I think the spread has moved too much. I think it could still be a single score game. But now the number just being at 3 in favor of Clemson on the road in Atlanta, I'll pick the Tigers and lay the juice.
I am down here in Georgia, Ben, and let me be a little bit of a homer and go right there. Georgia, number 15. Number 15. People are outraged down here. Okay, they're number 6. All right, my bad. Number 6, Georgia, at number 15, Tennessee. I've been seeing some Gunnar Stockton this year. I know he's not doing much downfield, but I don't know. It seems like he's taking a step forward. Do you think Georgia at 2-0 is going to, like, again, come to play, because it's been a little underwhelming thus far?
Yeah, another line, John, that has moved drastically. 6.5 at the open, 3.5 throughout a majority of this week, and really sticking on that number. And again, Tennessee has looked okay. They started off the season strong against a power conference foe in my alma mater, Syracuse. They made that SU defense look abysmal, and frankly, the Orange have not been great this year following a 10-win season in 2024. But John, this is really a game based on preseason projections, I think, at least in my mind, for these two teams. I think Georgia is right back in the hunt for that SEC championship, and albeit the Volunteers, a college football playoff team from a season ago, I expected them to take a step back based on some of that change offensively. Now, Joey Aguilar has been fantastic at the quarterback spot in Josh Heupel's system, and they have figured some things out on the ground in replacing Dylan Sampson, who, of course, is now playing in the NFL and was one of the best backs nationally a season ago. The Duke transfer star Thomas, Deshaun Bishop, the sophomore for the Vols, have been really good on the ground. And here's that key matchup in my estimation. Georgia's rushing defense last year, nearly as bad as we had seen since 2018, giving up nearly 130 yards per game on the ground. So far this year, albeit against maybe not the best competition in Marshall and the FCS foe in Austin Peay, they have looked a little bit better up front. Tennessee has been great up front, causing some havoc in that backfield. So you mentioned Gunnar Stockton, just 2 passing touchdowns so far this year. I really want to see that Georgia offense open it up tomorrow against Tennessee. UGA has beat Tennessee 8 consecutive years. They have won 13 of the last 15. And I think because of that 3-point move really in the spread once again, you're getting a discounted number on Georgia. They have not been great covering numbers in non-conference play in a decade under Kirby Smart. They're 45-37 against the spread since 2014 against SEC foes. And in their conference opener, I think Georgia goes to Rocky Top and silences the crowd there in Knoxville tomorrow.
Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens. Well, let's stick with the Georgia homerism, because Carson Beck, the former Bulldog, very emotional. Was that last week? Week before? They are 2-0. They're 17.5 point favorites. What do you think of that? And what do you think of this total here at 56.5 against South Florida?
Yeah, John, it's a really great game, right? A top 20 matchup between South Florida and Miami. Not necessarily what we expected as this season started, but that's how great Alex Golish and his Bulls have been. 2 consecutive wins against ranked foes to start the year, and the huge upset playing spoiler in the Swamp a season ago. And some might be thinking to themselves, well, last week's spread was 17.5 in favor of Florida at home against USF. and South Florida won outright. Why would this number still be at three scores in favor of Miami, albeit the Hurricanes with the statement win against Notre Dame, now a top five team in the country? And I think it's fair to question that, but I also think it's fair to point out the spread is the spread for a reason. The odds makers are not just laying bad numbers when it comes to this game. And a lot of that betting handle, a lot of the public money is on USF, as you would expect, because of their two outright wins against ranked foes to start off this year. I actually think South Florida will continue to trend in a positive direction. I'm not sure they play spoiler for a third consecutive week, knocking off a top five foe now in Miami. But I do think USF stays within the number, John, and here's why. The defense this year for the Bulls, so much better, at least to start against really upper echelon competition than we had seen in the previous 2 years in Tampa under Alex Golish and his defensive coordinator, Todd Orlando. They've only given up two total touchdowns, one apiece to both the Broncos and the Gators, two pretty lethal offenses as we at least expected entering this season. Last 2 years under Golish in this time at his at the helm of this South Florida side, they've given up at least 29 points per game. The second reason is Byron Brown, who has been the quarterback under Alex Golish now for the third season they have been together. And last year, a little bit injured, as we saw even against Miami when they got routed last year 50-15. But Byron Brown is really at the controls right now of this offense and doing so very well. So I think South Florida stays within this game. I'm not sure we see another outright upset against Miami, as USF had this play the first 2 weeks of the year. But I would expect this to stay within the number tomorrow in Miami.
Ben, we only have about a minute. You have way too much information for this segment, quite frankly. But we can certainly tune in tomorrow and check you out. Once again, co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. Quickly, Notre Dame, number 8, playing number 16, Texas A&M. They're 0-1, Notre Dame. Are they hosed for a college football playoff if they start out 0-2? And do you think they'll win easily?
It would be dicey, but after these two games, John, they have a much easier slate the remainder of the way, but I don't expect the Fighting Irish to start off 0-2. I think they win tomorrow. I think they even cover the spread, laying 6.5 at home against Texas A&M. Key for the game is Jeremiah Love, the running back for Notre Dame, John, that did nothing against Miami in week number one, 10 carries, 33 yards. That Irish offense on the ground has to dominate against an A&M defense that has looked a little bit shaky up front, having to replace a lot of NFL talent. I think Notre Dame wins by at least a touchdown tomorrow under the watchful eye of Touchdown Jesus.
Unbelievable content right there. Ben Stevens, again on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens. And check out Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. And Scott Barrett will join us on the other side. We'll talk a little DFS for week number 2. And then in the final segment of the program, I'm feeling pretty good about the propage that will be presented to you shortly in the final segment of the program. But hang tight for week 2 DFS glory with Scott Barrett of Fantasy Points next here on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN's exclusive betting splits cut through the noise, pulling real-time data straight from Circa and DraftKings sportsbooks. Circa caters to sharp bettors and big wagers, while DraftKings reflects the broader public market, giving you a unique look at both sides of the action. Track the percentage of bets and handle on every game across every major sport so you can make sharper, more informed bets. Start your edge today for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. And welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. We go right back to the progressive guest line, Scott Barrett of FantasyPoints.com, the CEO, very, very fancy title. He is on the X Machine at Scott Barrett DFB. What is up, Scott? Is first segment for you in 2025. Week one's weird. It wasn't great for anyone, so let's move onward and upward. But how are you?
I'm doing good, John. Happy to be back. How are you?
I'm fantastic, even though I didn't have The greatest week one last night was successful. We did hit our Thursday night special, but I was seven Debo Samuel yards shy of 4-1 of the week. So, you know, that hurts a little bit. Hey, but we'll take it. We'll take it for now. Well, what are the Brock Purdy owners going to do this week? Because Brock is not going to play. You seem to have some confidence in one McCorkle Jones. I've always been a Mac Jones guy, but I do think there's a drop off from Purdy. But you do not seem to be that concerned about Mac Jones. And of course, our guy, Ricky Pearsall. Who doesn't love Ricky Pearsall?
Right. Well, the key thing here is this is DFS, so everything's relative to the salary. And Mac Jones is only 4,000 this week. That's about 1,500, 2,000 less than just about all the other quarterbacks I would have brought up. And we have a great track record here from Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks. Josh Dobbs last year made us a lot of money in week 18, scored nearly 30 DraftKings fantasy points. And since 2022, backup quarterbacks for the 49ers are averaging 18.7 DraftKings fantasy points per game. So it's really easy, I think, you know, to play Mac Jones, play Ricky Pearsall, play Christian McCaffrey, and then you could play just about anyone, you know, because Mac Jones is so cheap, because Ricky Pearsall's one of the top values. So you have this bet that the 49ers do better than expected. And if that's the case, you know, you have a massive advantage on the field because you could afford just about anyone else to put in this lineup. And I can see that happening just based on Kyle Shanahan's track record and the talents. And so part of this is the stack with a Ricky Pearsall, because no George Kittle, Debo Samuel no longer on the team. What happened last time Kittle and Debo were both not on the field? You saw Juwan Jennings score 50 DraftKings fantasy points, the most ever by a 49ers wide receiver, which is insane considering he had Terrell Owens and Jerry Rice. And last week when we saw George Kittle went down and Juwan went down, Ricky Pearsall had a 50% first read target share, really locked onto him. You can play Juwan if he manages to suit up this week, but to me, it's Mac Jones plus Ricky Pearsall and Christian McCaffrey is one of my favorite under the radar stacks of the week.
By the way, if I told you, I haven't even looked, but if I told you the over under on CMC touches, carries, catches was 30, are you taking over or under this week?
Oh, wow. That's pretty incredible. I don't want to touch that.
I might go over. Okay. Right, okay. Right. Okay. Well, I guess it's just a non-creative way of saying like Christian McCaffrey's getting the ball. Like he's getting a boatload of touches here, right?
Absolutely.
I like massive. Scott Barrett of Fantasy Points on the line with us here. Now, let's move over to Jackson Smith and Jigba. I mean, you can't be happier coming out of last week with the target share, all that. I was very high on JSN. I had my 12 key players, the 12, very arrogant, the 12. He was on there, and I'm like, I'm not overthinking this. He's getting the ball. He's the man now, dog, basically. So what do you see here? Joey Porter might not go, and even if he does, he might not be shadowed.
Yeah, and Joey Porter Jr. isn't someone who really strikes fear into my heart, like a Sauce Gardner or a Patrick Surtain. He really struggled with T. Higgins, mostly in the slot last year. I think he almost set the record for DPIs this past decade. But yeah, JSN, like to me, looks like Puka Nacua usage, which is, you know, best in the league sort of usage. This was a player who coming out, I said, was Keenan Allen reincarnated. And it was a little bit of a rocky start, but you see this week one usage, 67% first read target share, 83% yardage market share, just absolutely insane. And after the game, Sam Darnold was asked about it. He was like, well, that's just, you know, the design of the offense and the defense didn't sell out to stop him. So I'm going to take that all day, every day. Maybe another week it'll be, you know, Cooper Kupp's day, but no, JSN is a big part of this offense. And yeah, and so it's just 6K for basically Puka Nacua. I'm going to take that.
Yeah, no doubt. I tracked Darnold's commentary on JSN all year. Like, he loves JSN. Like, I mean, why wouldn't you? The guy gets open quickly if you're a quarterback. Sam Darnold, the longer you're in the pocket holding onto the ball, the worse you get. Scott Barrett, one more or two, perhaps, if we have time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a big Clint Kubiak guy, too. And so it's not just the volume he received, but it's also how he was utilized. We saw his horizontal route rate nearly double, his intermediate route rate nearly double, lots of play action, and lots of two wide receiver sets, which means, less competition for targets. So really, really just incredible usage. The JSN's looking like a massive league winner. So absolutely feel good about that call.
Really felt good about what Brett Whitefield was telling us about Kayshon Booty. But I was going to go in on his prop, and it's probably going to hit, but he is on the injury report and he's been limited with a shoulder. And I just think it's irresponsible if I back a dude with that profile. One guy I'm not in on, but I came this close is Hunter Henry, AKA Hunter Henry. I call him Hendry as an homage to Goodfellas, but I like this spot, no doubt about it. He had a pretty good game. I remember liking him last year in this matchup. Miami's been weak against tight ends for a while, a lot of zone. What do you see with Henry this week?
Yeah, so I had to write him up just because he's Ryan Heath's favorite player of all time. Ryan Heath has posters of Hunter Henry scattered all across his apartment for some reason. But I actually believe in this. You know, I gave Ryan a hard time all offseason, but you saw week one, team high 17% target share, 8 targets. More impressive, he had 117 air yards. That was the fourth most by any tight end since the start of last season. And of course, this matchup against Miami, worst secondary in football, made Tyler Warren look like Brock Bowers 2.0. So at 4K on DraftKings, Hunter Henry, and like you said, Booty a little banged up. I feel really good about this call.
Well, I think I'm going to hop aboard here. I'm going to make a last minute decision here. I am in on Hunter Henry over 35.5. We are projecting 43.6, which is 23% more over at fantasypoints.com. And Scott, I know you also are in on Javonte Williams this week and perhaps a little Chase Brown as well, but I'll let you run. I know you're a little under the weather, but great stuff as always. We're on the Twitter machine following you at Scott Barrett DFB. Good luck in week number 2, Scott. I'll be back in the final segment of the program with my official week 2 prop picks, including one Hunter Henry. But first, if you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. You download the Better app, you pick more or less than your favorite player stats, and you watch the action unfold. If your pick hits, you win. And right now, they've got an NFL kickoff new user special. It's still going. Sign up today and get a free $10, no deposit necessary. And when you do deposit, you can get a free $200 in deposit bonuses. NBA, WNBA, MLB, you name it, all sports covered. And Better is also giving you $40 for every friend you get to try Better Picks. The word is, we're only doing this first 2 weeks of the season. So share this ASAP and head on over to Better.app, that's BETR, or download Better from the app or Google Play Store. Pop in that promo code VEASAN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. One more segment to go. Official propage for week number 2 coming at you on this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VEASAN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on this Friday edition of Prop Points on VSIN. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our guests And thanks to Mr. Michael Cohen for producing the program. Ben Stevens, of course, and Scott Barrett of FantasyPoints.com. I do have a best bet for the week that we will pop out at the end of the program. Now, I'm pretty sure last week, now we had a terrible week last week, but I am pretty darn sure, maybe our guy Michael Cohen can confirm this, that we had Bro Flacco as the best bet last week. So at least we got that right. But we'll also get into some touchdown props here. But let me quickly go through, and I've got a number of them this week, which we added Hunter Henry, 35.5 over receiving yards, DraftKings, minus 112. I do have some data points on that. We did add that at the very last minute, but good matchup. Miami's defense, they allowed just a 51% target share to outside receivers last week. So a lot of stuff funneled inside. Hunter Henry matched Kayshon Booty for the most targets last week with 8. He looked good, looked really, really good. So feeling good about it because Tyler Warren also, by the way, torched them last week. So I like that one. Calvin Austin, my guy, he is over 35.5 receiving yards. This is on Fanatics. Seattle deployed 2 high safeties, 57% of the dropbacks when they faced Aaron Rodgers last year. They played it at an even higher clip last week. That is not good for DK Metcalf, whose targets per route run fall 30% against 2 high compared single high compared to single high. However, Calvin Austin gets a 50% boost to his fantasy points per route run against 2 high. So he's clearly the number 2 receiver. 6 targets last week, a 20% target share, 74% route share, second highest air yard share, by the way, in the NFL. The Seahawks gave up a whopping 20 yards per reception to San Francisco wide receivers last week. Hello, and Devin Witherspoon has been out of practice all week. We are projecting 46.8, which is 32% more. Josh Palmer, I mean, I love this one. This is what I do. I try to stack as many positives as possible, then I just roll with it and I sleep like a baby. We are projecting 41.5 for Palmer. That's 32% more. Aaron Glenn, top 3 in man coverage in general, dating back to Detroit and last week. And Josh Palmer sees a 49% boost to his targets per route run against man because he's a very good route runner and he's pretty quick. By the way, his separation score against man last year was better than Puka Nacua and Nico Collins, to name 2. Now, Keon Coleman also crushes man, but here's the problem. We are projecting shadow coverage by Sauce Gardner, and Gardner's on the injury report, but he's set to go. Sauce versus DK Metcalf last week, 89% of the routes, he allowed only 1 catch for 11 yards. Finally, Khalil Shakir sees a 38% drop to his yards per route run against a man. So it'll be the Palmer show, I believe, who, by the way, gets the ideal matchup against left cornerback Brandon Stevens. Cedric Tillman, love Cedric Tillman, over 40.5 receiving yards. Unbelievable guy. Father played in the NFL. He knows what's up. We are projecting 53.1 or 31% more. Ravens used the 5th highest rate of man coverage in week number 1. Tillman is averaging a very solid 2.32 yards per route run against man. Looks like he'll see perhaps a lot of Jaire Alexander, who kind of stinks lately. He looks suspect, and he gave up a pretty healthy number of 0.31 fantasy points per route run last week. Another man-beater type in Keon Coleman last week had a huge day, 8 for 112 and a tutty. And Tillman is Joe Flacco's boy on the outside, and they're 11.5-point road underdogs. So Flacco is going to be throwing it all over the place. This one is fishy, all right? Chase Brown, over 17.5 receiving yards. It seems too good to be true. I know he doesn't get a lot of targets and wins, and I think that's what they're looking at. But I'll take the over, minus 114 on FanDuel. We are projecting 25.6, which is 46% more. The game has the highest over-under total on the week. And maybe Trevor Lawrence, maybe can put up a fight here. It's a good matchup. Chuba Hubbard, not known for his receiving chops. He got 3 for 32 with a tutty receiving in this game. And Brown just absolutely annihilates the backfield snappage and route shares and all that. And, you know, he's hit 18 yards, by the way, in 7 of his last 8 games last year. James Cook. Actually, I think we took the James Cook one off. Yes, we did. We replaced that one with Zay Flowers. See, I'm making last minute decisions here. But by the way, I mean, I do think he's going to go over 55.5. But we're not going to make it an official pick because we're going to go Zay Flowers with that one. It's a very good schematic matchup for Zay Flowers. He'll see a very beatable corner. He'll see a lot of single high. A big game last week. So I definitely like me some Zay Flowers. And then we've got Devontae Smith on here, a.k.a. Skinny Batman. Chiefs were a slot funnel last year. He's still lining up inside quite a bit, is Devontae. 40% of the time last week. Ladd McConkey had a really good game. He'll see a lot of Shamari Connor, who is very, very beatable right now. So love that one. And yeah, I think it'll be a squeaky wheel game for A.J. Brown, but no Dallas Goedert potentially. I don't know about today, but he's been out of practice all week. Brenton Strange, over 32.5 receiving yards. Bengals use cover 3 and cover 6, 69% of the time last week. And Trevor Lawrence is very good against those shells. So maybe Lawrence will do well. Strange averages a solid 1.81 yards per route run against that coverage. Obviously, the Browns tight ends. I liked Njoku, unfortunately, last week, but the Browns tight ends had 10 catches for 100 yards. So I see Strange being the hurry-up guy. They'll be playing from behind, over 32.5. Feel pretty good about it. Amon Ra, I'm going right back to that well, even though we lost it last week, at least on the tailgate show, I know. Over 64.5 receiving yards, minus 112. Dennis Allen, the new DC. A lot of two high looks. That's good for Amon Ra. Gets an 18% boost to his targets per route run against two high. Meanwhile, Gordon, the slot corner, may not play, and Jalen Johnson, the outstanding outside corner, will play, which is not good for Jameson Williams. And Sam Laporta is not great against man as well. So I'm in on Amon Ra. He got to 70 yards in both games, so I'm feeling it. I'm also really feeling Jackson Smith and Jigba over 5.5 receptions. Joey Porter did not shadow Garrett Wilson. Joey Porter may not even play. JSN with an absurd 57% target share. The Steelers have been an underneath funnel, allowing the third most receiving yards on throws 10 yards or fewer down the field, but the fifth fewest on the deep ball since the start of last season. Steelers allowed only 33 deep receiving yards last week. So, and he'll see a lot of Darius Slay. I'm not worried about that. So JSN is going to get 6 catches at least in that game. I think we've covered it all. I do have some touchdown props real quick. I've made the points on a lot of these guys. Devontae Smith, I think Jonnu Smith has a very good schematic matchup as well. I did lose him last week, but I'm going to go in on the touchdown prop with a nice payoff here. Josh Palmer, plus 300 plus, and then Strange again. So we're trying to make up some ground with the propage that the touchdown props we're not crushing. So we are trying to make up some ground. So the only thing I haven't got to yet is the best bet of the week. See, I went pretty fast there with the other stuff, but we can take our time for the best bet. It is brought to you by GBank. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is opened with the GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3 to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. And of course, stay tuned to Prop Points Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel. 2 Eastern on today's show. Mike Palm will join with sharp betting insights from Circa, and Will Hill breaks down the NFL and the college football board. Follow the money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Circa Friday Football Invitational. That is hosted by Matt Humans at 7 Eastern here on VSiN. My best bet for the week is Trey McBride, over 58.5 receiving yards. We're projecting 72. That's 23% more. Top five implied total. Panthers ranked top three. And cover three usage, 41%. That is Trey McBride's jam. He gets a nice 30% boost to his yards per route run at 2.91 against that cover three shell. McBride, over 58.5. You are welcome. Catch him Monday for another edition of Prop Points.